by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Pray with me one more time. Father, front to back, left to right, speak to hearts. May I enunciate clearly. May I speak what, Lord, you've been working on me about and teaching me. May I communicate the Scriptures well. May I speak under the authority of getting it right and cutting it straight. So I pray I do that. I pray you'd help us this morning. Lord, whether folks been saved just a little while, Lord, maybe they've been saved a while, but they've never really grown. Or maybe they've been saved long enough and they've kind of forgotten some first principles. I pray you do that. And then, Lord, as we look at our backgrounds and Lord, what I said and what we hear about this subject, how I pray that you would help us cut through the cultural clatter and clamor, and instead just get back to the basics here. And I pray more than that, that when we're done, we would be determined to be in control by the Spirit of God. I pray you'd help us this morning. Help me as I preach. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. I pray you get honor and glory from what's done today. I ask it in your Son's wonderful name. And amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. We started off in verse 18, which is kind of where we were last time. Pardon me, and I just remind you of a couple of things here. And again, if you haven't got a handout or something, I hope you go and grab one. And if you can download, look at the sermon, HardinValleyChurch.com/app, and just click on the notes. You can follow along there as well. Sometimes I'll put a lot more there if I can. That'll be a good help to you. And so we said without hesitation or reservation last week. Verse 18, and other scripture plainly teaches is always sinful, always sinful, always sinful to be controlled. Be under the influence. Alcohol, drugs, drunkenness, ever what you want to say. You can put all kind of crazy things in a vape now. Seem like it's hard to go somewhere and not find a weed shop. Excuse me. People passing around pills, or the institutions, the places of rescue and the places of restoration continue to say that affluent families are overwhelmed in this arena as young people have more money and more access. And so we're not talking theory, we're talking reality. And we're saying again, it's always sinful to be controlled this way. I'm saying that verse 18 reminds us and teaches us that it's always God's will to be controlled by His Spirit, to be under His control, be under His control. And so I hope that helps you. I hope that helps you. I hope you can remember that and understand that. So what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, may I set the stage? How many of you would like for me to set the stage a little bit? How many of you are texting somebody in instead of listening to me? All right, very good. Just checking in. And so I want to help you a little bit here. I want to help you. Let me help you with a scenario. Anybody in here grow up with a parent, step parent, godparent, grandma, grandpa, stepmom, stepdaddy, any variation of the thing? All right. Several of you just hatched and no family. All right. All right. How many of you grew up somewhere? How many of you right now, if that parent were here, if that parent were alive, or maybe a teacher, and if they said, sit up straight, zip that lip, how many of you can hear that voice, whoever it was that was the disciplinarian? How many of you got a little nervous, me just mentioning that? How many of you have lived long enough, you've seen adults, grown people, money in their wallet, in their purse, act different when they get around somebody like that? I've watched people in their 60s get dressed down by a mama in her 80s. Susie, you're not going to do that. And I'm going, I'm about to watch two people with canes get in a fight here. And it's kind of crazy. Anybody seen that? It used to tickle me so good. My dad, when we would go visit my grandparents in West Palm Beach, Florida, my mother acted differently the week we were there than the other 51 weeks of the year. My nana get away with saying things to my mom that I thought, this is going to end in fisticuffs. There is just no way, no way. I don't know my dad on his craziest day would have tried to get away with stuff that my nana just completely. My mother was married to children, been married quite a while, a successful career, and my nana would say, Fazy, set the table. I'm thinking, that 45-year-old mama is not going to put up much more of this. You know what my mom did? She went and set the table. Faze, don't the boys need a bath? Don't the boys need a bath? And we've been outside in the Florida sun. No, they're fine. Well, I'll give them a bath then, a little passive aggressive. It was awesome to watch once I understood what was going on. How many of you got cold chills? Now you're going, yeah, you would act different. It's amazing how differently we enact when different people around. How many of you act more foolish if you're around some of your doofus friends? Anybody here got doofus friends and you act a little different? That's like the most hands we've ever had raised. You got some people that bring out the best in you. Bring out the best in you. Yeah. We are different when we act differently. Years ago, I taught junior high and high school for a while. I was a youth pastor and worked my way out of that. And I figured out quickly, it wasn't if I had a young person, it was a problem. I'll tell your parents. I had to figure out which parent. You do that again, I'm calling your mom. I'd watch, 6'2", 250, go, oh, no, Mr. Hallman. No, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Don't do that. Had to call one time. A young man had cheated. Principal called. He walked in the principal's office. And I was around, and I saw the principal walk out of his office. I asked him, I said, is everything okay? He said, so-and-so's father said he needed a moment alone. I went, what does that mean? He said, I don't know. I was scared of him. I walked out here. Anyway, 4 or 5 minutes later, dad came, opened the door, called the man's name. Principal came in. The young man said, tears in his eyes, Mr. I will never do that again. I'm so very sorry. I've been raised better than that. My parents have raised better than that. I've been a shame and a blight to my family, and I won't do that anymore. Please never call my father again, I will do whatever it takes. And the young man was a model citizen the rest of the school year. Some of you are smiling, some of you are smirking, some of you, that was you, it was you. We act differently, depending on who we're around. Sometimes they bring out the best, sometimes they bring out the worst. Verse 18, the Bible says, be being filled, be being controlled by the Spirit of God. Stop doing the other. Stop the drinking. Stop the being under the influence of these things. Instead, be controlled here. We work through that this word was used to be filled. It's the same idea of being filled with fear. The disciples, when they were on the Sea of Galilee and the storm was there, they were filled with fear. Other passages in the New Testament, filled with rage, filled with joy. It means to be controlled. I gave you in your handout. Being filled with the Spirit is living in the conscious presence of Jesus. Letting His mind through His Word dominate everything that's said and done. Being filled with the Spirit is the same as walking in the Spirit. Same as walking in the Spirit. Let me walk you through it. So we're not talking about a one-time event. When you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Now the rest of your life is how much of the Holy Spirit gets of you. When you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit. The rest of your life is how much the Holy Spirit gets of you. Just like you can be drunk on Saturday and be sober some point on Sunday, you need to constantly being submissive and putting yourself under the Spirit's control. You ever figure that out? You're uneven in your spiritual life? Some days you're doing better, some days you're worse. You let 4 or 5 days in a row go with no word, no prayer, no song, no anything, and all of a sudden, man, you're saying things you wouldn't normally say, you're thinking things you wouldn't normally think. We need to be this constantly being controlled, not a one-time event. It's a daily decision. There's some obvious characteristics. I say, what do you mean? Anybody here besides me? Man, somebody says, I'm a spiritual person. They got a dream catcher hanging on the rear view mirror. They got, some unicorns, rainbow stickers, or they burn candles or incense. And I'm not really being poking at them. I'm just saying, but they've got some, I'm a spiritual person. Or, the funny thing, back in the 90s, early 2000s, Jesus and I have got our own thing worked out. Okay. Well, I'm just spiritual in my own way. No, you're a jerk, in your own way, and you just know a few phrases. Kind of thing. That's people I normally ran into like that. Well, I'm just, this is just kind of where I've got a little concoction. I've got my own little brew worked out here. No. The people that are spiritual, he gives some obvious evidences for. You don't get to claim to be spiritual and disagree with the Scripture. It's just obvious. It's laid out for us. There's some obvious characteristics. Somebody says, I'm a spiritual person. Well, let's see if these three things are there. See if these three evidences of being controlled by the Spirit of God. And then I would remind you, we're talking about being controlled by the Spirit and not the crazies of the Spirit. Not the crazies of the Spirit. Sometimes when you talk about the Spirit of God, people are like, oh man, I got an aunt. I got an uncle. I got a cousin who's been third removed. I don't know if I want any of this or not. Because that's kind of strange stuff. That's kind of strange stuff. When I lived down in Pensacola, Florida, there was folks there, man, and they were barking, they were howling, they were doing all kind of things. It was 7 days a week for about 4 or 5 months, and it was some odd stuff that was going on. We're not talking about the crazy spirit. There was the laughing revival up in Ontario, Canada. People said, when the Spirit of God came on me, I just fell down and laughed like a hyena. Again, show me that in the Scripture. Now, I'm glad you're happy. Again, I'm poking a little fun here. Excuse me. I forget where it was. I think it was Arizona, maybe in Colorado. They had the barking revival. Folks said, man, when the Spirit of God came on, rah, 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 rah. If you got real spiritual, oh, and those kind of things. I don't see that in Ephesians 5. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's there. You can go ahead and smile. I'm being a little silly here. Again, I'm giving real anecdotes here. Excuse me. I'm not trying to get mad. It's the Bachelor and the Bachelorette. Nod your head if that's the two reality. Okay, all right. So the Bachelorette, I believe it's the Bachelorette. One of the contestants a few years ago, I mean, blew up the media and blew up social media, blew up TV. She came out. She gave an interview. She gave an interview, said, I slept with my boyfriend in the windmill at the putt-putt course. That was the headline. And I'm still a good Christian. That was the interview she gave. And man alive, if you think Twitter was on fire that day, you're exactly right. And people are going back and forth. And the woman just would not protest. I'm sexually active. I wasn't sleeping with this man. We did it in a public place. We did it in a windmill at the putt-putt course. But I'm still a good Christian. I'm still a very spiritual person. What bothered me was not how off she was, but how many folks read that. And okay, well, it doesn't matter what I do. I can be a good Christian and do whatever I want. That's not being controlled by the Spirit of God. By the way, if you disagree with me, you're going to hate the rest of the service, all right? Disagree. And so when we're talking about this, we have to set the table a bit. Your Bibles are open there. Go over to a few pages to Colossians. Colossians 3:16. Can you do that for me? Tablets, your Bibles. Colossians 3:16, go eat popcorn, someone said. I know that doesn't spell it correctly. Colossians 3:16, I may have the slide here for us. I'll come back to it, that other side. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. How many of you think that looks a whole lot like Ephesians 5, 19, 20, and 21? What we have is what we call a parallel passage. Parallel passage. He's saying the same thing. He's putting just a hair of a different spin on it. He's giving us some insight there. He focuses on the Spirit of God in Ephesians 5. Here he focuses on the Word of Christ, or the Word of God. He says, let the Word of God be at home in your life. Let the Word of God be at home in your life. Anybody been in a social situation the last couple of months that got awkward? Got awkward fast? Was it your fault or somebody else's? Just go ahead and yell it out. It doesn't matter. Somebody else is yours. Anybody, you've made things awkward and then you don't know how to fix it? You're like, well, I'll let myself out. And sorry I'm here. Or you're there going, man, I drove all this way and there's all this tension. All this tension. I always love being around people who've been fighting and they try and act like everything's okay. How you doing? You know, they can't open their jaw. They're so mad. and it's awkward. Don't make it awkward for the Spirit of God. The Word of God ought to be at home. You go to some people's house, they tell you to keep your shoes on. Some people's house, tell you to take your shoes off. Some people's house, man, they're handing you a coaster. Don't put a ring on the table. Other folks, they come in and they say, you sit wherever you want. Here's the remote control, and we got some stuff. We got some bacon dip on the stove, and we got some wings in the oven. It'll be ready in a second. Just be at ease here. Be at ease. The Scripture ought to be that way in your life. The Spirit of God ought to be that way in your life. He ought to control every thought, word, and deed. Let the Word of God. So when you marry those two together, you get this idea that the Spirit of God is using the Word of God to help you act like you're in the presence of the Son of God. That the Spirit of God is using the Word of God to help you act like you're in the presence of the Son of God. Say, walk me through that, preacher. There's three evidences here. I offer you to them on the screen. They're obvious in your text. Verse 19, singing. Look back with me if you would. Still with me, say amen. Still with me, verse 19. Real practical, simple, hopefully comfort food kind of stuff here. Speaking to yourselves. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. 2017 Lifeway Research. This is the research arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. National study, different age groups. It wasn't a click here kind of survey. You know, they went to people, filled out the form, had controls, had a standard deviation. They came back surveying folks inside, outside of church, separated the research out to people inside of church, people who would say they believe that the fundamentals of the faith kind of thing. Anywhere from 5 out of 10 to 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10 of those people said they never cracked a Bible, never opened the scriptures in a month's time. Only 4 out of 10. Only 4 out of 10 gave it a shot of trying to read a hair of it every day. Every day. We are not able to be controlled by the Spirit of God if we're not going to get in the Word of God. We're just not going to be able to do it. And when I say that again, I'm not talking about you got the family Bible. The family baby on the table. You can. Family Bible on the table. You may listen to it. You may be more of an auditory person. Use the Bible app and do something like that. You may have a devotional plan you walk through. I'm suggesting there's several things there that you get the Word in your life, but you can't be controlled. And statistics say we're not doing a real good job there. When he starts talking about singing there, notice what he does. He talks about public and private. Public and private. Take it apart with me if you would. Verse 19. Excuse me. He says, speaking yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice the directions there. We may change. I may lose my mind. And we change. I doubt it. I'm kind of stuck in my ways. I think public worship means the public worships. I'm just that simple. I just don't think. Again, I'd love to have 6 or 7. I dreamed yesterday afternoon, and I was like, man, wouldn't it be nice if we fill up all those folks, and we have to get a few more mics and have some folks here, folks on the stage, folks here, and Keith back there with his big fiddle or bass, you know, doing his thing, and Forrest cranked up on the violin or the fiddle and all. I mean, I was dreaming a little bit here. I want that, but that won't take the place of you singing. He's worthy of our worship, which means we got to sing songs we can sing together, right? And trying to find those and make sure we've got those kind of things. And I know there are places where, man, it's all on stage and you just kind of listen and your worship's about clapping. Again, there's a place for some of that. But being Spirit-filled means I am ready to worship the Lord and sing. Say, I can't sing real pretty. It doesn't stop the rest of us. Just go ahead. It'll be okay. There's something to be there. I've told the story before. Ray and Ann Gibbs sang in particular, they sang the Metropolitan, the New York Met. They sang different places, still in high demand, even though they're officially retired now. Beautiful opera singer. Excuse me, my pastor's wife grew up with his wife down in Georgia. She'd gotten away from the Lord. She married an unbeliever. He didn't know anything about the scriptures. They made a deal. While Dan was pastoring in Memphis, they were on loan there to the conservatory. And he would come hear Dan preach, and Dan would go, my preacher would go to the opera. He said he didn't care for my sermons, and I sure didn't like the opera. He said, I got him. We had a relationship. He said his wife rededicated her life to the Lord, but he's still lost. He said, here was a man who was paid considerable sums of money to sing. People would come hear him sing. We would go out and do things. We'd go do fun things, whatever. He said, we'd be on my, he had a little bass boat. He said, we'd go out fishing. Ray liked to fish. We'd go out fishing. He said, and the whole time we were fishing, said, I'd hum, I'd sing, I'd whistle, I'd do these things. He said, I never heard a peep out of Ray's mouth. He was paid to sing, but there was no song in his heart. He said, Ray was gloriously saved one Sunday morning. Ray's a big man. Walt King gave his life to Christ. They baptized him. Some months later, they went out fishing. He said, I struck up a tune. He said, all of a sudden, Ray joined right in. God had put a song in his heart. There used to be public worship. Say, I'm a real spiritual person. Tell your mouth about it. There's to be praise on your lips. There's public. There's private. There's private. Look right at me. It matters what you listen to. It matters what you listen to. If you listen to garbage, that's not going to help you. If you listen to all this other, it's not going to help you. I'm stunned by parents and grandparents and step-parents. They give their kids the most technologically advanced device, much more so than we put a man on the moon, and you have no safeguards on it. You don't know what the chat's going on. Excuse me. You don't know what the chat's going on, the text's going on. You don't know what the music's going on. You don't know what the videos you're looking at. You don't know anything that's there, and they are filling up on unbelievable sensual and sexual and violent and filled with profanity kind of stuff, and you're wondering what's sour in their spirit. It matters what you put into your heart and into your mind. Be careful. Be careful. Listen to godly music. Listen to music that's joyful. It gives three characteristics. Three characteristics. He says Psalms. This is scriptural stuff. Scriptural stuff. We're a little ways away from singing the psaltery. The meter's unusual to us. I know churches that do that. But making sure we have those chunks of things. The Gettys have taken some of the Psalms and put them to some things that we can sing a little bit better. Hymns there. Hymns. These are the doctrinal kind of music, doctrinal kind of thing. They're deep and they have some depth to them. Rob Morgan, he led his church to sing a lot of contemporary things, reverse course about halfway through his ministry, spending his retirement years now encouraging churches to go back to the hymns. He said, I was thinking I was being helpful, but now I am convinced that we're missing things when we don't sing the great hymns of the faith. He said he got it, by the way, from Ephesians 5, spiritual songs. These are usually testimonial songs or what Jesus did for me. Typically, if you hear anything on the radio, you're going to hear something like this. This is not the Jesus is my boyfriend kind of music. I'm annoyed. I'm Twitter-pated. There we go. There we go. If you can write that down, you can leave now. Spell it correctly. I'm Twitter-pated by these artists who sing music. And they market it to Christian people, but Jesus is not in there. And the Father's not in there. And the Spirit's not in there. And the cross is not in there. And redemption's not in there. They sing things like, He will watch me. He will help me. Well, who is He? Or they flip the script entirely. And they just said, somebody hold on to me. I get it, but you're just doing marketing. You're leaving all the Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the gospel, you're leaving all that out because you're trying to dip in both things and you're just in it for some other reason. I think it ought to be obvious. I told the story. I was traveling years ago. I was trying to stay awake. I found a Christian station. I listened for 20 minutes, never heard God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit mentioned at all, announcers, anybody. I listened to it until I ran out an hour later. I never heard any mention of the scripture of the Bible. You be careful. Make sure you're not listening to gospel-flavored fluff. Make sure it's the psalms or hymns or spiritual songs. See, when I am filled and controlled by the Spirit of God, there is a worshiping life. There is praise to my lips. There is a joy that ebbs from my heart. When I'm obedient to the Lord, I'm obedient to the Word, then there is this singing, this praise, saying thanks. Be careful. How many of you in here, it's easier for you to grumble than to be grateful? I got two hands and one leg. Anybody? All right. Be grateful. Man, be grateful. I'm going to be real quick here. Be grateful. Look, notice what he says. Be grateful for who God is and what God's done. Be grateful. be grateful, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. That'll prime your pump, saying thanks. Saying thanks. It's hard to argue with somebody who's thankful. It's hard to get down when you're grateful. It's hard to do those things. I'm not talking about seasons and fits. I'm not talking about any of those kind of things. I'm just saying the general tenor of your life is God has been better to you than you've been to him, and you ought to practice that with saying thanks, saying thanks. Years ago, I worked with young people, a little more in college age students, did a lot of funerals, did a lot of weddings, attended a lot of weddings. Young people got married. They got kids now. Some of the folks I talk got grandkids now. I don't know exactly how that happened, but anyway, and I work with. We'd been somewhere, done something a few years ago before we came here, and I'll never forget it. It's like 4 or 5 months after the wedding, maybe six. And we got a nice thank you card. And it was a really weird thank you card. One, I'd forgot about it. And two, it started with this long apology. Was going to do it. We moved. Going to do it. Husband started school. Going to do it. Blah, blah, blah. Then I got embarrassed. But my mom and dad raised me to be grateful. And Brother Rodney, you poured into us to be grateful. So thank you for the toaster, whatever we gave him. Even though this is, again, 5 or 6 months late. I looked at Andrea, I said, if she did that for 120 gifts, her arm's tired. Sorry, I've been a sludge. And hadn't sent you a note. You know what she was doing? In spite of how silly this makes me look, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm taking the time for a card and a stamp. Thank you. We recognize that as great manners, don't we? We recognize that as good raising, good rearing. You know what? It's better than good raising, and it's better than great manners. Being grateful and thankful to God is biblical, and it is a sign of spirit fullness. Ingratitude, haughtiness, arrogance, all these kind of things, they are signs that there is a spiritual malfunction. Number three, being submissive relationally to God and others. And what he's going to do the rest of the chapter and into chapter six, he's going to walk through what does that look like. Husbands, wives, wives, husband, children, parents, step-parents. What does that look like? Employers, employees. How does this look like? How do you reflect being controlled by the Spirit of God in your everyday relationships? This, to me, is one that's controversial because people have demonized it and said it all backwards. It's not submissive that you're superior to me. It's submissive in the sense that we're all submissive to God, and I find where I fit here. Find where I fit. If I say in a football game that all of a sudden after the hike that the quarterback laterals it to the wide receiver and the wide receiver turns and the quarterback, you go, man, that's a trick play. That's kind of crazy. And if you do a fumble rooski and the quarterback comes around the end there and the wide receiver on the right throws it across the field to the streaking quarterback who catches the touchdown, and there you go, man, what a brilliant trick play. He was a wide receiver, he became the quarterback. He was a quarterback, he became a wide receiver. Man, that's amazing. Nobody knew what was going on. The announcers are going crazy. Because it's different. Quarterback's supposed to be the one to do that. Wide receiver's supposed to catch the ball. Running back's supposed to run the ball. The blockers are supposed to block. Being submissive to God says, I know where I fit. I know where I fit. I'm not talking about value. I'm talking about doing that. The word hupotasso there. To line up under, to fall in rank. A colonel's not a general. A one-star general's not a four-star general. Excuse me. A private's not a corporal. A corporal's not a sergeant. All these kind of things. Being different is okay. And he says, you understand this. God is the one in charge. He's got other people he's held responsible. And we get really worked up about this. I meet with people with much more regularity now who just, you know, well, churches are messed up. Well, sure, they're full of people, full of people. Well, I just, you know, just looking for a place. Well, if you live in West Knoxville, you can do that for about 2.5 years last time I checked. You can go to a different church every week. You can see black ceilings and long robes. You can see everybody chanting and a whole lot of folks half asleep. Not here, but other places. And, I mean, you can see these kind of things. No, no, God didn't call you to be a Lone Ranger. He told you to find some place and to get in a place and to get under the authority of the Scriptures and be accountable to people. That's what you're to be doing. He's talking about humility here. He's talking about meekness. He's not talking about pride. He's not talking about haughtiness. He's not talking about a refusal to participate. He's not talking about being a Lone Ranger. Be humble. Be humble. Now, by the way, how many of you think singing might be your natural thing, praising? Gratitude's no one's natural function. But being humble, nah. You got to stand up. People run right over you. I got hurt before. I can't trust anybody. I hear you. We're talking about the working of the Spirit of God in our lives. The working of the Spirit of God in our lives. Say, how does that look? How does that look? How does that look? How does that look? I said to you that I believe this is the very idea of being in the Spirit of God, being in the presence of Christ. I've shared this some years back. I looked at my notes. It's so helpful to me. I want to say it again. We'll be done if you'll listen quickly. The Apostle Peter, when he was in the presence of Christ, he did three things. He did the miraculous. He said the miraculous. He was miraculously bold. He was miraculously bold. Matthew 14, when he was in the presence of Christ, he walked on the water. You can kick at him for falling because he saw the waves, but he took more steps on the water than anybody else did. He did the miraculous. He said the miraculous. Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Peter looks and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus looked at him and says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon Barjona, but my Father which is in heaven. In the presence of Christ, he did the miraculous. He said the miraculous. He was miraculously bold. He's outnumbered. There's a 2,000, give or take. One person says that's what it translates to. Another said it could have been just 200, whatever they were. They were the elite temple guard. They were commissioned. They would have been equivalent to special forces. Peter pulls out his little sword, goes for the guy's neck, misses, hits his ear. Jesus picks up the ear, puts it back on the high priest's servant, saves his life. In face of overwhelming odds, Peter's miraculously bold when he's with Jesus. When he's with Jesus. Say, well, how does that help me? Jesus ascends, Acts chapter 1. How is Peter when he's in the presence of the Holy Spirit, when he's being controlled by the Spirit of God? Don't miss it. He did the miraculous. He looks at him, Acts chapter 3, verse 11, to the one who was lame and tells him to go ahead and walk, and he is immediately healed when he's controlled by the Spirit of God. Acts 3, 11, he says the miraculous. He preaches the message we consider one of the great sermons of all scriptures, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And he preaches, men and brethren, declare ye this day that Jesus, whom ye crucified, is the risen, resurrected Lord. He does the miraculous. He says the miraculous. He's miraculously bold. They call him in front, Acts chapter 5. You tell us, O King, whether we ought to obey God or man. I know you can kill me. What you don't know is the one I brought with me is bigger than the one you are. He is bold. To be controlled by the Spirit of God is to live and act like you're in the presence of Jesus. Who we're around so many times determines how we act. You can act differently. You can act just like you're in the presence of Jesus when you're controlled by the Spirit. He can do that miraculous work in your heart, in your life. Three evidences of being filled, controlled by the Spirit of God. Would you pray with me, Father? Lord, this is just so helpful for me to be reminded of. It's so amazing what you've done. Lord, we didn't say everything this morning. We didn't walk through all of it. And Lord, we did have a smile at some oddities and other groups and places. I pray, Father, right now, you'd help us. Help us be controlled by your Spirit. If there's a word deficiency, help us to get back in the habit. Whether it's just a verse a day or listening to it in the car on the way to work or taking a break at lunch and pulling out our Bible or a Bible.